The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. This is Hoop Ball Grizz. I'm your host, David Williams. I've got with me today my co-host, Mr. Sam Brewski. Sam, how's it going, man?
Oh, it's going good. How you doing today?
Doing all right. Not as good as I was Sunday, coming off of the Nets win. But yeah. Still doing okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got a lot to talk about today. We're not a lot. Really, it's a slow week for the Grizzlies. We're going to talk about the Grizzlies-Lakers matchup because the Grizzlies are not playing that many games this week. They had the one game Sunday. We've already covered that one. And then they had the Lakers. And then they play at home, back at home against Phoenix on Saturday. So we'll get you another cast for the Phoenix game later on. But today we're going to cover the Grizz-Lakers and kind of our takeaways from the game, what we liked, what we disliked. And we're going to throw a couple little small things in there, see what you guys think about them. So we'll start off the box score. The Lakers beat the Grizzlies 120-91. Sam, did you get to watch this game?
I did. They started off looking pretty good, and then it was just like the wheels fell off after that. It was kind of...
Yeah, I got to watch it bits and pieces. The game was playing while I was at work, so any chance that I got to fire up the Grizz app to get the game playing on my phone, I was doing it. But I didn't. I turned it on in the first quarter, right at the end of the 15-2 run. The Grizzlies were up 15-2, and I got to watch it there for a couple minutes and see where it just kind of made a hard turn. Mm. Not that I thought that the Grizzlies were going to blow the Lakers out by any stretch of the imagination, but they started off strong, and I'm like, okay, all right, we're going to play good against better competition. The Grizzlies are going to get it together. They know it's better competition. They're going to step it up.
How great would it have been if they would have beat them, though? Oh, my goodness. That would have been fantabulous.
Oh, man. I would have been so excited. Like, we have a good friend, Sam and I. We share the same friend, and he's a massive Lakers fan, and he's one of the obnoxious fans that you just want to chop in the throat.
Obnoxious whenever. Is a good word.
Yeah, and so if the Grizzlies would have beaten the Lakers, it would have been just the best thing ever for us to be able to rub it in his face. Hi, your championship team just got beat by a young Grizzlies
team. Just got smoked. That would have been grand.
Yeah, but unfortunately, he got to do all the crap talking after this game. So I'm going to cover just a little bit of what the Grizzlies done from the field, and we're going to talk about each of these a little bit and then move on. The Grizzlies just were awful from the field. They shot 31 of 95 for a 32% clip. Shooting 32% from the field is not going to win many ball games. It's just not going to happen.
They're not going to win any. They're going to lose.
Yeah. And obviously, there were other things that attributed to it. The Lakers, let's just be honest, they're just a better team. That team is built to compete for a championship right now. You have two of arguably the top five NBA players in the league right now on the same team, and a decent supporting cast. I don't think they're not super deep. They've got some injuries going on right now. When they get guys like Rondo back, they add a little more depth to that team. But just in all reality, the Grizzlies are not built to compete with those guys right now. And so starting off the game and running up the 15-2 run, looking good, I'm like, okay, all right. But then, it just quickly turned around from there, and Anthony Davis lived on the free throw line. So it was just a kind of what I expected from this game, to be honest. So, we took the 32% from the field is not good. The Grizz shot 7 of 34 from deep at 20%. You've got to get that up. And that has been a struggle. They struggled all year last year with it. The Grizzlies were not a good three-point shooting team last year. And so far this season, it's looking like that's going to be the same thing. Even though they made some moves, they signed Gudrich, which I see him getting a lot of crap on social media. They need to cut him. They need to get rid of him. yada, yada, yada.
I might have mentioned that as well.
Yeah, Sam is a hater. If your name, if you play for the Grizzlies and your name is not JV, Sam doesn't like you. He's just a hater like that. It's what he does.
It's not 100% true. But.
But, you know, the Grizzlies signed Gudrich to a 2-year deal, and they're not paying him a ton of money. I think he's getting $2 million a year, slightly over $2 million
just
a year.
$2 million.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, $2 million is a lot of money. Yeah. But compared to NBA contracts, $2 million is
that's
not a ton of money.
To them.
But in the EuroLeague, Gudrich is a career 40% guy from the three-point line.
Goodness.
And last year, he shot 47% in the EuroLeague. I realize that there's a change of pace. I realize that the EuroLeague is not the NBA. But if you can shoot, you can shoot. And I feel like that's going to translate. And if you look at guys that came over from the EuroLeague, I don't have a ton of examples, but Tony Kukoc is the one that comes to mind for me.
That's a good example.
When he came over and he was playing for the Bulls, he wasn't straight out of the gate killing the game. He was a veteran at that point. He'd been playing for a while, but because of the pace change, it took him a little bit to adapt. And so for all the people that are ready to just like pack up shop and send Gudrich running, I'm not there, guys. If a guy can shoot 47% from range, even if it's in the EuroLeague, which the EuroLeague is a pretty solid league, I would say maybe like second tier to the NBA. You know, you got the NBA, and then EuroLeague is probably sitting there on top of any of the other ones. You know, arguably,
I agree with that.
So I'm not on board with sending him down the road. I think that they need to give a little bit of time, let him adjust to the speed. I think he'll come around because he showed me some things in the preseason that I really liked, and I think that he will come around.
He did look good in preseason. I won't deny that.
Yep. So the rebound category, rebounding is always a big thing, and I think in the majority of games, the teams that wins rebounding is going to win the game. And the Grizz got out-rebounded in this game, but it wasn't a landslide. In the size difference, the Lakers, in the parts of the game that I got to watch, they were running out. Big guy, they run out big lineups. You had Anthony Davis, a 7-footer, at the four, and then you had Dwight Howard. And Anthony Davis and Dwight Howard were on the floor together quite a bit of the game that I got to watch. And again, I was at work, so I didn't get to watch the whole thing. I was just getting to catch bits and pieces of it.
They had McGee out there too. They were running all their bigs. It was that lineup is that's scary.
It is, man. It really is. You know, the Grizzlies just didn't have the size to compete with that. Brandon Clark is a, you know, he showed that he's going to be a good NBA player. I believe that he has. And he just doesn't have that size. Can he hold his own against those guys? Sure. But when you're running, you know, we have Valanciunas on a minutes restriction. And then Jaren Jackson, man, the fouls just keep piling up for him.
That is just sad. That statement right there is just, you got JV minute restriction, you got Jaren who's hitting people, he just can't stay out of trouble. That right there, you lose.
Yeah, you've got to have those guys. JV and Jaren Jackson are the two best Grizzlies. You have to have them on the floor to win the game. And you can argue Ja Morant, Ja's a rookie, he still has to, he's got to develop. But outside of those three, I don't think that there's an argument about anybody else on that team.
If anybody argues with you about that, they're dumb.
I wasn't going to push it that far, but
push it that far.
You know, that's you have those three guys like that. They are the stars of the team, and when you have Valanciunas and Jaren Jackson, Valanciunas was on the floor for 23 minutes in this game,
right,
and Jaren Jackson was on the floor for 18 minutes.
Just slightly over 18, yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
you're not gonna beat anybody. Definitely not the Lakers. And that's, you know, JV is looking good. Has he not had a double double in every game so far?
He missed the first game,
the Heat game.
The Heat and game, he played 7 points and like one stat and everything else. And then the rest of them, he's had a double double.
Okay, but he played the least amount of minutes Heat game.
He did,
and that was his first game. He played none in the preseason. And so, you know, conditioning was probably an issue there. But he is, and he's going to be a walking double-double. That's just what you can bank on that from JV. He's going to be a walking double-double. But against a team that has bigs like the Lakers, you have to have JV and Jaren on the floor. And I was looking at the play-by-play, and Jaren gets 2 fouls in the first quarter, and then, you know, he sets out a little bit, and then he picks up his 3rd foul in the second quarter with 7 minutes left in the quarter, and he didn't play the rest of the half. And I didn't do the breakdown of how many minutes he played in the first half, but it wasn't a whole lot. You know, it was 18 total in the game. Yeah. And that's just, it's not enough. No. I'm going to stop beating the dead horse on that, but you can't win like that. And then later in the game, Sam was watching, and what happened, Sam? He picks up his 4th foul, and he goes off the court, and then I'll let you take it from there.
Oh, gosh, it was awful. So he comes back in the game. He's got 4 fouls, and he's out there for 15 seconds or something, and boom, there's the 5th foul. And he just, like, puts his hands up. Hands go down. He goes back and sits on the bench. I mean, it was pathetic at that point. It was just like just the utter disappointment. It was just awful.
So I looked it up. He was on the floor for exactly 17 seconds.
That was close.
He picked up his 4th foul. He sets out. He comes back in. He's on the floor for 17 seconds, and he picks up his 5th foul.
Boom.
Just like that. And that's...
Of course, the refs were kind of handing them out to Anthony Davis. Not being biased or anything, but just saying.
Anytime you get to the line 27 times, I feel like
that
there may have been some questionable calls in that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you look at him too hard, we're calling a foul.
They did a few times. I blinked at him twice. They called one on me.
I saw a tweet. It was after this game in the middle of the night. I was just up, and I was kind of scrolling through Twitter. And this guy tweeted out, he said, Triple J wakes up in the morning, every morning, with 2 fouls already.
He sure does.
And I just busted out laughing. Like, and I'm laying in the bed scrolling through my phone, and I read that, and I just started laughing. And I hate that that is so accurate, because – it seems like, at least in the early going in the season, he just can't seem to stay out of the foul trouble.
That was last year, too. I mean, it was last year, and it's carrying over to this year.
Yeah, he put it together a little bit toward the end of the year.
Oh, right before he got hurt, that's right.
Yeah, he wasn't as productive, though.
Yeah.
When he was on the floor, he was scoring. Mm-hmm. But on the defensive end, his defensive stats dropped dramatically. And I hate to see his defensive stats drop like that, but I'd rather have him on the floor. Yeah. If we got to lose a little bit defensively from him, I think that the Grizzlies gain so much on the offensive end that it's almost worth it for him to kind of fall back until he can work this out. One thing that I do think will help moving forward is when Jonas gets off the minutes restriction. Because then, you know, the bigs, the dominating bigs, that's going to be Jonas's guy. And Jaren's not going to be in as much foul trouble. He's going to be coming over for the help. He's not going to be one-on-one with those guys. Against the teams like the Lakers, where they're running 2 7-footers, it just is what it is. But let's face it, there's not many teams in the NBA that are going to be running out of lineup like what the Lakers have. It's just not there.
Good point. But Jonas should be, in theory, is what they're saying. It's what they said on TV the other day. Jonas should be off the minute restriction next week. That's what they're saying. So
are they saying that for Saturday's game?
Next week.
Okay.
They may have meant Saturday, but they said next week. So I would say I would say definitely bank on the next game, next home game.
So they got Monday then. So Monday against the Rockets at home. He should be off.
That's what they said. That said next week. So yeah. I would assume that would be it. And if he does.
And he did play 23 minutes in the Lakers game. And he's looked good. I haven't seen any signs of a limp or anything, like he's favoring that foot. So I'm hoping Monday. My fingers are crossed. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be at the Grizzlies-Rockets game Monday. I hope he is off of that minutes restriction. I hope that he plays the full game. And I hope James Harden tries to go to the hoop and he sends the ball about seven rows deep in the crowd.
That would be fantabulous, because if you catch the ball, run off with it. I would.
And get arrested just for a basketball.
They ain't catching me.
I will go to the store and buy you a basketball. They're like $35. No. It's fine.
It's not the same. Jonas didn't block that one.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true, but it's still not worth it. Not worth it at all.
Not catching a felony over, right?
Yeah. All right. So one thing, Sam and I were kind of looking at it. We were discussing it. I want to talk about assists versus turnovers. The Grizzlies are 1-3 right now. And this is their team assist, overall team assist for the three games that they lost. The Heat game, they had 22. The Bulls game, they had 24. And the Lakers game, the lowest of the season, they had 20 team assists. In those games, they had a combined 63 turnovers. In the Lakers game alone, they allowed 30 points off of those turnovers. 30. If you cut those down, the only win that we have, that the Grizzlies have so far this season, the only win, they only had 12 turnovers. If they cut that 21 turnovers against the Lakers down, back to the 12, that's 9 less possessions off of turnovers. And with those 9 less possessions, they don't score 18 points. And that changes the final score just off of the turnovers from 120 to 91, takes it down to 102 to 91. Still an 11-point loss, but 11 points is not almost 30. And so that's something. Cleaning it up is something that the Grizzlies just they have to do. And I expect to see a lot of, like, growing pains with the young team. I expect to see games that are sloppy, games where they have a ton of turnovers. They don't get as many assists. They're not rebounding well. I do expect to see that. But in the same token, I'm optimistic. I want to see maybe they just wake up one day and they put it all together and turn it around. You know, Sam and I both have our win predictions for the season. I say 25. Sam says 35.
I've since changed that, but I guess we're sticking with it.
Sam is not changing it. He's not. We're not going to allow it.
Well, they need to wake up one day then and just get stuff going. That's what they need to do. Then I get my 35 wins and I'm good.
But they're going to have to do that even to get to the 25 mark.
No doubt. I'm surprised they've got a win this year.
And they earned it. They really did.
They really did, yes.
It was they played well. That's the game that they put it together. Mm-hmm. They shot the ball pretty decent from the field. In the Nets game, in their only win so far this season, they had 33 team assists and 12 turnovers. So that's nearly a 3-1 assist-to-turnover ratio. And if you can keep it at that, you're going to win a lot of games like that. If you're getting a lot of assists and you're not turning the ball over,
I'd say you win 90% of the time.
Yeah, you're going to win quite a bit.
35 wins. Let's go.
dreaming.
We'll see.
All right, so we're moving away from Sam's dream here. We're going to do, so to close out the show, we're going to say three things that we like so far about the Grizzly season and three things that we dislike. So, Sam, I'm going to let you lead off with it. What do you got?
Three things that I like. Jonas re-signed with him this year. Big deal. I was so worried about that during the summer. Another one would be they've got a really young team. They do. They've got a lot to learn. But next couple of years, they're not going to be young, so young anymore. They're going to look, hopefully, 35 wins. Let's go. But we'll see. But, yeah, that I definitely like. Third thing, New Jersey's come out on the 23rd. Excited. Hopefully you're excited for that, and I know I am. Things that I dislike. Minute restriction for Jonas, but hopefully that's about to be over.
The JV super fan. If you haven't noticed, JV super fan over there.
He signed my thing, number one fan, so it has to be. Another. Man, they're so, what's the word? Not together right now. They're learning to play together. I don't like that. I wish they could just, you know, you throw them out there, they know exactly what to do, and boom, they win. But no, that's not going to happen. And a third thing, Jaren Jackson picking up all those fouls. My goodness. He's just out there smacking people.
All right, so Sam's three likes are JV signing an extension.
Of course.
And the youth are the upside of the Grizzlies.
That's a good word, upside. That was the word I was looking for, yes.
Okay, all right. And then your third thing that you liked was?
The new jerseys that they're coming out
with.
That's
right. They're doing the throwback, the 20th anniversary. Man. Yeah. The only thing that I wish was different with that jersey is the throwback green. I know where the Grizzlies came from. I realize that they moved from Vancouver to Memphis. But I would love it if the green throwback said Memphis instead of Vancouver.
It doesn't say Memphis?
It doesn't say Memphis.
I thought it said Memphis.
No, I'm...
The black ones say Memphis.
The black ones do say Memphis. But from what I have looked at in the pictures, the green ones are going to say Vancouver.
Oh, well, I thought... I saw a picture where Jaren was wearing one that said Memphis. But maybe...
Really?
Maybe
okay,
not.
I didn't see that.
Well, it was a Photoshop, so they very well could have done that. So.
Okay, yeah. I think the official, like from what I've seen on the NBA website, I think that it's going to say Vancouver. I'm still going to get one.
I'm getting a black one then. It says Memphis.
Yeah, I'm still going to get a green one.
I'm getting a green. Actually, Jonas is getting a green and a black one, so yeah, it's done.
Sam's going to have 14 Grizzlies jerseys, and they're all going to say Valanciunas.
If they come in different colors.
All right. So my three likes are going to be this. I like the amount of team chemistry that they have. That was one of Sam's dislikes. He doesn't like how they're disorganized and not playing together. And I think that comes with time. You know, we've discussed it a little bit. The Grizzlies have between 4 and 6 guys that are back from last year's team. So you do have to build chemistry. And I like where they're at, knowing that most of these guys haven't played together. Obviously, they need to build. They need to improve on that. But that would be my one like. My second like would be the fact I like Coach Jenkins. I like how he, you know, it's early in the season, and he's changing the rotation around. He's not getting stuck in his ruts, you know, and that's something I think that you have to do. You have to not be scared to make changes. The coaches that you see be successful, they change their lineups. If they're struggling, they make adjustments. And that's what you have to do to win NBA games.
That's one thing. Oh, gosh, who was the coach last year? Can't think of his name right now.
For?
The Grizzlies.
Oh, Bickerstaff.
Bickerstaff. That's one thing he didn't do. It's like he I could go on for days about this. Dylan Brooks was one that should have played last year. I understand he got hurt, but when he was healthy, he should have played. He should have been starting shooting guard last year, but no.
Yeah, and that's...
And look at him now.
Yeah, he's had good games. Mm-hmm. He's still figuring it out, though, man. I agree that he should have started last year, but he's still got a lot to figure out.
He does.
You know, he was young last year. He's still young this year. And still has a lot to figure out. So I can agree that maybe he should have started last year. Beginning of the season, they were starting Temple, right? Garrett Temple with the two.
Troublemaker.
Yeah. Well, I don't agree with that. But they were starting Temple over Brooks. I think that Brooks probably should have had that spot. But maybe there was something in practice that we didn't see is why he didn't. And maybe Bickerstaff's, you know, Bickerstaff not being willing to change is the reason that he's gone, mm-hmm. you know. So anyway, I like Coach Jenkins. I like what he's got going on. And my third like is how Ja's game is translating into the NBA. And, you know, I didn't watch him a lot in college. I saw the highlights, you know, when he started getting the hype on SportsCenter. I have a good friend of mine that he went to quite a few Murray State games. He's a big autograph guy. And so he was trying to go and get Ja's autograph. And he said, he's like, this kid is, he's next level. His game's going to translate. And so far, it definitely has. So he is showing exactly why the Grizzlies took him at the number two pick. He's made some incredible plays. His vision is outstanding. Fearless. Can't wait to see the first NBA poster because he's going to absolutely murder somebody with a dunk. He just goes right at them, and I love that. The three dislikes for me, and it's tough. There's a lot of stuff that I dislike. Not that I'm a pessimistic person, but just a lot of things I feel like the team needs to work on. Number one dislike is Jaren and all the foul trouble. Agreed. I said it earlier. I think that gets better when Valanciunas is off the minutes restriction because Jaren and Jonas are going to be on the floor together quite a bit, and that's going to take some of the defensive responsibility off of Jaren. He's going to be guarding a four instead of a five, and I think that makes a big difference. I think with the NBA and the way that it's going, you have a lot more stretch fours now than what you did in the past. So Jaren guarding somebody on the perimeter is much different than guarding somebody down low. Another dislike for me, I hate to say it, but Dylan Brooks so far this year is a dislike for me. He's had one good game. I want to see him get it going. And I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon like the guys with Gudrich, the negativity, the stuff that I'm seeing spewed over Gudrich on social media right now. I'm not going to do that with Dylan Brooks, but I need to see more consistency from him. If he's not going to be consistent, you have a lot of young guys on this team that deserve a shot. You know, Grayson Allen played well in the preseason. He played well in the summer league, and he's getting some minutes right now. He hasn't been super productive, but maybe if you put him out there with the starters, he gets better looks. You've got a guy like Josh Jackson that's starting the season in the G League. Maybe if Dylan continues to struggle, we see Josh Jackson. I don't know. I truly believe at some point during the season, the Grizzlies will call Jackson up. I think that's going to happen. But I think that's going to be further down the road. I think that's after Iguodala gets traded and they stack up some more draft picks. And my third thing that I dislike about the team is just the turnovers. I want to see them taking care of the ball. And that's something comes with experience and learning the speed of the game. So I think that those things are definitely going to improve. We'll see. Fully expected to take some lumps this year and maybe even next year. We're going to improve toward the end of the year and just going to get better. The guys are going to have a little more experience for next year. Got the draft coming, no telling what they're going to get in the draft, where their draft picks are going to fall. But it's going to be interesting, and I'm enjoying watching the pace and the excitement. Grizzlies may be the most exciting bad team to watch in the NBA this year.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah.
I'll agree with that one.
All right, guys, that's all we've got for today. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at DWill2111. Sam, where can we find you?
I'm also on Twitter. It is SammyB1118. That is a capital S, lowercase A-M-M-Y, capital B1118.
All right. Until next time, go Grizz.
Go Grizz.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.